Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
We're going to go ahead and get started this morning in a passage of Scripture in 1 John. And I so love this passage because we're admonished to do something, something we already know technically to be true, but to really think deeply about something. And John says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God." We should be. "Therefore, the world does not know us because it didn't know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." So John is admonishing, encouraging his readers to behold. Now, the word behold means to take special notice of something, with the implication that it concerns oneself. Take notice, to consider, pay attention to concern oneself with. And what is it that we're supposed to? What's the object of what we're beholding? We're beholding the manner of love the Father's bestowed upon us. In other words, he's saying, just stop and consider the kind of love that God showed us. We think of that great Scripture, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." And he's saying, just stop and think about that. The kind of love that the Father has for us has made us children, has made it right that we should be called his children. In other words, he did something. You know, we like to say that, you know, before I knew Jesus, the Scripture says, as many as received him, to them, he gave the right to become children of God. He didn't just give them the right to join a church. He gave them the right to become someone. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. So this isn't like, you know, man-made religious traditions where, okay, do you believe this? Do you believe this? Okay, you're in the club. That's not the way Christianity works. There's a gospel, there's a good news, there is love, there's a Savior who died on the cross for our sins 2,000 years ago. My sin is on this cross, your sin was on this cross, and at some point, the good news, the gospel, is you believe your sin was on that cross. And when you believe that, there's a change that takes place on the inside, and you become what the Scripture calls a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, all has become new. Does that mean you're perfect in every way in terms of what you do and how you live and how you think? No. There's a process of growing up spiritually as we catch up with what God did on the inside of us. But we become a child of God on the inside. And so he's saying, behold the manner of love that we should be called children of God. He gave us the right to become children of God. He goes on to say, born, not of the will of man, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of blood, but born of God. Amazing. We can't feel it. We can't see it. We just know it by faith. We have other evidences. We know that we've passed from death into life because we love the brethren. We have the Spirit of God on the inside who bears witness to truth. We can see through things. We have these internal evidences of this amazing miracle that has taken place in our heart. But he tells us, stop. Behold the manner of love that did that. And this morning, I want to take a look at what I'm simply calling God's love is now. There is a nowness of the love of God that sometimes we almost understand early on and we forget. There is an immediacy, a nowness of the love of God that I'm believing by his Spirit, he's going to help us to see. And Father, I do pray that this morning, that you would just open our eyes, that you would just show us the reality of your love for us right now, that we would behold the manner, the quality, the type of love that you have bestowed on each one of us, that we should be called the children of God, not just to see the result of it, but to see the amazing manner of it, Father God. And the manner of that is with us right now, present. Father, I pray that we would see it, that we would know it, that we would perceive it, that we would allow that love to minister to us today, Father. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, God's love is now. When we think about love and God's love, we think of the cross, we think of the gospel, sometimes we think of, you know, my love for God, and I need to love God, and I need to forgive, and sometimes, if we're not careful, we'll perceive God's love for us according to how our love walk is going. Do you realize God's love walk toward you is going really good this morning? Regardless of how your love walk is going. And we kind of theologically know that. But this morning, I want to walk through the scriptures. And I want each one of us again to see and to know and perceive by the Spirit of God in this moment how loved you are right now by God. It makes all the difference in how we live for Him and how we experience Him in our lives. So this morning, we're going to take look at a couple aspects of this. First of all, you got to believe you are loved. Believe you are loved. John goes on to say, we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out, dispels all fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. There's a lot here. But you see what John says, we've known and believed the love that God has for us. That really, in one aspect, it could be almost a picture of the gospel. You can know that God loves. You can hear the gospel that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. The scripture says, while we were sinners, he loved us, and he gave himself for us. But he goes on to say, we've not just known it, we've known and believed the love that God has for us. And that's what we were talking about before. It's one thing to hear somebody preach the gospel. It's another thing to say, yeah, I believe it. That's my sin on that cross. I've known and I've believed the love of God. That's what brings us over here into the family of God. Brings us over here as a child of God. Knowing, hearing about it, and then believing it. That causes us to become a child of God. But he goes on to say, there's no fear in love, but that perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. Now, when we look at this and we consider this, we have to realize that knowing and believing and experiencing the love of God was not just, of course, that one-time experience of believing that Jesus loves me. I mean, do you remember that first love? Do you remember when Jesus became real to you, his love became real to you? I mean, I remember it was like receiving him at a crusade. It was like, man, it's like just an amazing peace, just a lightness. It's like, wow, God loves me. He's not mad at me. I'm his child. There is such a joy of your salvation that you experience in believing the love. But John says we've known and believed the love, and in that place there is no fear in love. Now, I had such a powerful experience on this verse of Scripture in that I woke up one morning, and it was almost like I woke up in the love of God. I woke up in this place of perfect love, where there is no fear. And I experienced just a supernatural realization of God's love for me. And it's not like God did anything to me. All he did was open my eyes to see what has been there all the time. It's like, if you say God loves, you know, smile, God loves you. Yeah, yeah, I know. But what does that mean, God loves you? It means he loves you. He cares about you. He, you know, like a parent with a child, there's a supernatural, unconditional love that you have. And when I woke up in that place, it's like this came alive to me in a powerful way. There's no fear in love. Sometimes you don't realize what you're carrying around in you until it's just not there anymore. And when I woke up in this presence, it was like, I am loved by God. There was no resentments. There was no fears. There was no bitternesses. There was no, you know, all that stuff was just gone. I wasn't mad at anybody. I didn't have any fright. It was just like, all I knew was one thing. I am loved by God. And it was just amazing how that was the most important thing. I like to describe it as it relates to my earbuds. You got that sound-canceling technology, or the noise-canceling technology that'll just block out the outside noise. I mean, you can see that stuff's going on, but it's like you're in this bubble, and you can't hear what's on the outside. It's like that perfect love has that all the demonic noise and all that. It's like noise-canceling. It just wasn't there when I woke up in this presence. It was just like I woke up in the presence of the love of God. And it's like, he didn't do anything. He's just showing me this is the way it is, Ed. He's saying, this is how I love you. This is how I love you right now. And it's like, wow, praise God. And to try to describe this, there's no fear in love. Sometimes it's hard for us to understand this kind of love. It's not like, Ed, I love you. I'm taking your side. Had nothing to do with taking my side. You know, we not only live in a world with our national politics, we live in a world as human beings with personal politics that's very close to home and family and relationships. All those politics. This cuts through all the politics. That love, he loves you not because he's taking your side against anything. Not at all. He just loves you. He just loves you. And when he just loves you, and it's not because, it's like, whoa, he just loves me. Whether I might be right or wrong, he just loves me. There's something disarming that causes the fear to go. I don't even have to be right. He just loves me. He loves me with a perfect love. There is something very powerful about that. I can love because he first loved me. That's what helps me to love ultimately. But I got to be loved like that to allow that kind of love in. And it was so cool because when you're in that place where you're experiencing this kind of perfect love, it's like, man, I'm just free. I'm free from the fear of man. I'm free from the opinions and what people think. I'm free from that in a powerful way. And it's not like this. It's not like, you know, I don't care what you think because I know God loves me. That's not what I'm talking about. There is no chip on the shoulder, what I'm talking about here. It's, I'm not trying to win an argument anymore. I'm not even trying to win an argument. I don't have any self-pity here because I don't need it. Try to go there. You don't need it because you're loved by God in a perfect way. And it was like a gift. I just got to see this. And all of a sudden, I'm like in this bubble. And what am I doing? I'm beholding the manner of love. Wow. To be loved like this. You know, it's easy to say the phrase unconditional love, but go there. He loves you. While you were a sinner, he loved you. Now you're his child, born of his spirit, and it's a perfect love. And there's a freedom from fear that happens when we let ourselves go there. It's a love that he wants us to know. And there is something too when you allow that love in and that level, the level you can talk to God about your stuff. I mean, to just start there. God's love is now. I'm not having to read some scripture. I'm not having to do it. I gotta love this person before I can experience. No, you love him. How do you love him? By loving one another. That's what he said, you know? If you're going to love me, love those. Forgive all those things. We love him because he first loved us. And sometimes it's hard to imagine, how can I forgive that? Go back and receive that love from God. Go back and see how he loves you. Go back and see that perfect love. He loves you perfectly right now. We're invited to behold that manner of love. We're invited to go into the presence of God and believe the love. It's not just believing it when I got saved, but believing it right now. Here's how Paul admonishes the Colossians. He said, you were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and desires, yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Jesus in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence. And you, listen to this word, you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. He's seeing you, he's seeing the child that he has made you. But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. And that's kind of part of what I want to address this morning, is that drift. Do you remember when you first experienced Christ and the reality that he loves you? Man, he's saying, don't drift away from that. You are still his child. He still loves you. He's still for you. I like to say it sometimes this way. New believers sometimes accidentally walk in the Spirit better than us who've been living for God for a while. Because it's just like, wow, God loves me, he's for me, and they're just believing it, and all my stuff and all my past, yep, forgiven, cleansed, wow. He's saying, don't drift away from that. You're still holy and blameless without it. That's how he sees you. He sees the work of the new birth. He sees the child. Yeah, he knows you're being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Yeah, you're in the process of putting to death the deeds of the body and flesh as you're working out your salvation in these different areas. But right now, you're a child of God. And his Spirit dwells in your spirit. And he tells us to go there. Behold the manner of love. I am a new creation. Am I working through stuff? Yeah. But you know what he sees? He sees that child, holy, blameless. There's a few other scriptures along this line. Ephesians 4 says, you were created in true righteousness. Put on the new man who was created in true righteousness and holiness. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And those new things are of God. He sees you as a new creation. We're told that we're a new creation in the Word for a reason, so that we can see ourselves that way. Sometimes when we're having to go back to the reality that God's love is now, there is almost like a reset in our own heart and mind. I'm a new creation. I'm a child of God because I'm loved by God, not because I did anything, not of works. There's no boast here, yet it's still true. I am loved by God. The politics are gone. And like I said, this experience that I had too, it wasn't even an emotional experience. It was not really emotional at all in that sense. It was like, oh, I feel so good. No, it was a reality. It was like, whoa. It's like peace. More than emotional, higher feeling. It was just peace. You're loved. You know? And that's the reality of God's love. He wants us to behold the manner of that love. He wants us not just to believe it, but he wants us to continue to believe. He doesn't want us to drift from that assurance, but to maintain that sweet, childlike love. You know, Jesus in the book of Revelation admonishes the church of Ephesus, return to your first love. Return to that first love. Return to that place of assurance. Return to that place where you just know that I love you. You know, a new believer, that's like all they know. God loves me, and I know that because Jesus died for my sins. Couldn't tell you three scriptures, but they know that. And here we are later, knowing a lot of scriptures, doing a lot of things, and trying to work for God, and can lose that assurance. God's love is now. Believing the love is not a one-time event at salvation. Believing the love is something that is continual. Believing the love is today at this moment. Believing the love is in the middle of my politics right now that I'm in. I need that love. That love needs to be bigger than all the politics of my life. There's one big politic. God loves me. That's the truth. That's the number one truth. I am loved by God. And again, it's not like, I don't care about you, I'm loved by... No, it's not that at all. It's like, I'm loved by God. I don't have to be afraid of what you think. It just doesn't matter. I mean, it's like something just rises up. It's funny, I kind of had that happen to me a little bit Thursday night when we got plowed out. I got plowed out. We had an alarm go off at the church that Thursday morning at 2:15, a false alarm. One of these smoke detectors had a bad signal or something like that. Anyway, I get called by Simply Safe, and do we call the fire department? I'm snowed in. Call the fire department. I don't want to err on the side of caution here. And they fire sheriff calls me back, and the fire department itself, false alarm. Praise God, I'm glad for that. But it's Thursday then, and that alarm, we had an alarm go off, and it's still going off. And it's like, and I'm still snowed in, you know? And so I'm so excited because they finally came, they plowed us out. And but then, of course, with that snowfall, just because you got plowed out doesn't mean you get in the car and drive. I mean, we had snow all on the perimeter of our garage door, and it was like, I'm just huffing and you know, snowing deep, and it's heavy, and, you know, I'm finally, it's like, I've been, you know, snow shoveling that, and I come back in the house, and it's like, I got to go to the church, and then I got to come back and get a phone call, and it's like all this stuff, and I take off my hat from being, you know, out, and I look in the mirror, and it's like, my hair is like, I mean, I probably washed my hair the day before, but I'm incarcerated in my home for a week, so who cares, you know? And I'm looking at myself, and it's like, oh no, you know, I can't go out looking like this, and it's like, something rose up on the inside of me. I said, you know, if Fish Creek can have a historical snowfall that locks me in my house for a week, then I can have one historical hair day and get everything done that I was supposed to get done this week. And so I just went, all right. And I got in my car and I left, and it was like free from the opinions and the fear of man for a full day. That would be handy, though, to get a hair day mulligan every once in a while. But anyway, it was like that cool. It's like cool, I'm free, all right. Of course, I was, you know, the worship team was up here. I was kind of teetering in the back. They probably didn't see me a lot, but you know, it was like, okay, I can do this thing. But when you get in the presence of God in a powerful way, and it's like, you don't care what anybody says. You don't care. And it's not that, it's again, no chip on the shoulder. It's just like, man, I'm loved by God. I can totally. And if, not only do you not care, but you actually have a compassion for the very people that you're so worried about that they're going to see you right. There's a compassion. Because when you experience this kind of love, then you realize they're loved like that too. It's like, wow, that's how God loves them too. This is amazing. This is really cool. It takes away the element of the good guy, bad guy. That's gone. Satan, the accuser of the brethren, he's the one who injects all the good guy, bad guy stuff in there. The love of God comes in and does something. I remember thinking about that, Lord, what is it? Why is that? I just have no problem with that person. I remember just kind of fellowshipping with Lord about this. He said, Ed, you know what? He said, the people that you struggle with, he said, they're just a lot like you. You're a believer. You're trying to live for God. Sometimes you get it right, sometimes you're wrong, you're going forward, and sometimes he says, you know, and it's like, yeah, it's really true. I don't have to have my whole life wrapped around a person or their perception. I can just have my focus on you. I like to put it this way. This whole experience didn't change my theology at all. It just changed my center. It's like all of a sudden the center was his love for me. Everything started with God's love for me. It's not like, oh yeah, and God loves me. And as I'm working through my stuff and God loves me. No, God loves me. That's my center. I'm not working through anything. He loves me now. He loves me now. I don't have to forgive that person so that I can come and receive his love for me now so that I can forgive that person. Do you understand? It's not a quick, I got to start. I love because he first loved me. I come back to the love of God. And like I said, this takes the chip off the shoulder. I'm not checking boxes. I'm experiencing the presence of God now. That is the most dangerous thing to the enemy. Because I'm telling you what, when the reality of God's love is here now, and you realize he loves you and he is for you right now, that completely changes everything. Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There is no way. No trouble, no hard times, not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not bullying threats, not backstabbing, not even the worst sins listed in Scripture. None of this phases us because Jesus loves us. I'm absolutely convinced that nothing, nothing living or dead, nothing angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. What is the Scripture saying? I'm not having to work through something to get back to God's love. It's like, here's God, you know, it's like he loves me, you know, God's love for me, and there's God, and I got all this stuff in between that I got to work through. I don't have to work through. Nothing can get in between me and the, it's me and God's love for me right here. It is right now. That is important to realize. That's my starting point. That's my center. God loves me. I can do this. God loves me. I can forgive this. God loves me. I can overcome this. I got to start with the love of God. God loves you right now. He loves you right now. And I'm believing, too, in this message, that there is going to be an opening of our eyes, that we're going to see this, that we're going to experience something. You know, like we like to say at Door of Life, there's the sermon I'm preaching, but there's the second sermon of the Holy Spirit that he's preaching. That's just between you and him. And I'm believing that second sermon of the Holy Spirit, that's just between you and him, is going to make God's love bigger to you than all the personal politics of family and friends and people and situations, that is going to be the number one thing in your heart. That love is now, that you're going to give yourself permission today to behold the manner of that love and let that love fill you this morning. And realize there's nothing, trouble, hunger, homelessness, backstabbing, all that stuff, it can't get in there. God put it to me this way once. He said, Ed, there's nothing that anybody can do to you that can undo what I did for you 2,000 years ago. It starts with him. It starts with the love of Jesus. It starts with the cross. Man, there is nothing like knowing that you are loved by God today. Not because you read your scripture today. Not because you dotted an I or crossed a T or checked a box. But because you're simply beholding the manner of love. You're letting your heart and your mind go there. You're loved. And here's the other aspect that really kind of came out of this too. It was not only the fact that I'm loved by God, but you got to believe you are lovable, okay? You got to believe you are lovable. It can be hard, you know, when you're dealing with all those personal politics and anger and frustration or feeling rejected or bitterness of feeling rejected or all that kind of different kind of stuff that can go on in your head, all of a sudden you can get in your mind and thought and, you know, am I just this really lovable kind of person? You are lovable. You are not just loved, but you are lovable. I'll tell you what, believing you are lovable is as much part of your identity as knowing that you are loved by God. What then should we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. The one who died for us, who is raised to life, is in the presence of God at this very moment, sticking up for us. I like that translation even better. He ever lives to make intercession for us. He's in the presence of God, sticking up for us. It's like somebody is on your side. He loves you. When I think of this passage of Scripture, I think of the Apostle Peter. That night that Jesus was betrayed, and Peter said, "Man, I will die with you, Jesus." And Jesus says, "You know, Peter, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny three times that you even know me. You know, but I've prayed for you. But I've prayed for you." Now, when you think of Peter and kind of his personality, he doesn't necessarily seem like a lovable kind of guy. He seems kind of a gruff and, you know, he's going to talk now and think about it later and he might hurt you and, you know, I don't know. But Jesus loved Peter. Peter was lovable for Jesus. It's not about even a personality type. He just loved Peter. It's like, you got to be this kind of personality and this... God loves you. My personality is a, I don't know, personality charts or whatever. He loves you. You don't have to get caught up in whether you're an A, B, C, D, or whatever that is. He loves you. You are lovable to him. He loves your personality. He loves your humor. He loves you. He loves to hang out with you. He loves to laugh with you. He's a friend. He sticks up for you. And I can just imagine Jesus said, "It's okay, Peter, I prayed for you." Could you imagine being there watching Jesus pray for Peter? "Father, Peter's going to take this hard. You know Peter." What did he say? He said, "I pray that you won't lose your faith." He didn't say, "I pray that you won't make a mistake or that you won't fail." He said, "But that you won't lose your faith. And that when you're restored, you're going to help restore your brothers too." Isn't that amazing? He just stuck with him. He's lovable. He was for him in a way. And just to be able to see that, man, God is, he sees us as a friend. He sees us, what did Jesus say? I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. You see a certain beautiful camaraderie. He's loving you as a friend. It's fun to hang out with friends. It's fun to hang out. It's fun to have a certain sense of humor. You're lovable to God. He doesn't just love you as God, man. He loves you. He loves your person. He loves who you are. He knows who you are on the inside. Like I said, we're catching up in our heads with what God has already done in our heart. We're catching up. But God already sees that. He draws on that. You pull on that. He will see you. He will show you walking in realms of faith and trust in glimpses like, really? Yeah. I could just trust you like that? Yes. Yeah. And just know that I'm with you, that I love you, that I'm for you. Begin to show you, walk with you. Sticking up for you. He loves you. You're lovable. You're not this ugly thing that God's having to love with and put up with because he's God and you're man. No. You're his child. And you're beautiful. You're beautiful, really. You are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that he's ordained you to walk in. And there is something about believing the love of God for you that causes the insecurity of the ugly things that people may have said about you or... that stuff falls off because of the love of God. It's that love that casts out the fear, knowing you're loved by God. What are we doing? We're simply beholding the manner of love that God has bestowed upon us. It's right. It's appropriate that we should be called the children of God. How could it be appropriate? How could it be right that we should be called the children of God? Because we really are new. We really are his child. We really are. We really are. And to let our minds go there and our hearts go there. This the same Apostle Paul who said that we stand holy and righteous before God. He's the same Apostle Paul that said, I don't count myself to have been perfected, or that I'm already perfect, or that I've got this all together. But one thing that I do, I'm forgetting those things that are behind, and I'm reaching forward to those things which are ahead. He realized that his humanness is still catching up to what God did on the inside of him. He knows that. He wrote all these scriptures that we're referring to today. But he realized that too. God, it's this moment he's making intercession. I am his child. I'm allowing myself to go there, to behold that manner of love. Since then, we have a great high priest who's entered into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and find grace to help when we need it most. This is a beautiful passage that just tells us to come to him. He understands our weaknesses. Let us hold firmly to what we believe. Let's not drift from the assurance of who we are. Don't drift from the fact that in the presence of God is a new creation. Your righteousness, it's a gift. It's been given to you. I'm coming boldly before that throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace to help. And to realize that he understands our weaknesses. He gets it. That's the unique thing of Jesus. We're here, brand new on the inside, struggling on the outside. Jesus had a body like ours, and he never missed it on the outside. And he's God on the inside. So he has this unique ability as our great high priest to talk to us and say, I get that weakness. He never sinned, and he can help us to overcome. But it's amazing how beautiful that is. It's this beautiful, sweet grace, it's a throne of grace. A throne of understanding. A safe place that we can go. Even when I got my stuff, I'm coming to a safe place where I am perfectly loved by God. And be able to get what I need to get. You know, Jesus, there was times that he looked at his disciples and there were things that he wanted to say to them and he said, oh, there's some things that I'd like to say to you right now, but you can't bear them, so I'm not going to say them yet. To me, that's comforting. Sometimes we don't come before the throne of grace because we feel like he's going to tell me something that I just can't bear, that I don't want to hear. He knows what you can bear. Love knows what you can bear. Love knows what you can hear. That's why he said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest, not condemnation, not fear. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. You know, I'm meek and I'm lowly in heart. Learn. That's my voice. Safe place. Got your stuff, but man, we got a safe place that we can go to talk about stuff and to know that this throne of grace is that place of his love where you're perfectly loved. His love for me is not, we're so used to in our Christian walk feeling like I'm growing, I'm spiritually maturing, and as I'm maturing, I'm rewarded, and that is true. There's a sowing, there's a reaping, there's a dying. But when it comes to his love for you, there's nothing I spiritually mature into that causes him to love me any different than he already does. We've got to separate that. Yes, I'm growing spiritually to bear the fruit of the Spirit, to bring glory to God, to do different things, but I'm not growing in any way as it relates to his love for me. All I can do here is behold. Behold the manner. And the more I behold and the more I let that in, it helps everything else with the growing parts and the spiritual maturity parts and all that other thing. But it starts with his love. It starts with his love for you. He loves you not because he's taking your side. He loves you because he loves you. That's it. You just got to get over it. He just loves you. He just loves you because he loves you. And man, when you begin to see, when that becomes okay, when you can behold that manner of love and just let him love you, man, I'll tell you what, it makes you fearless. That kind of love makes you secure. I mean, the reality of that love. The Apostle Paul had a a prayer for the Ephesians, and I think this is a good kind of a closing scripture that we can think about as it relates to this morning. He says, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the breadth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Now that sounds a little contradictory or paradoxical, to know the love that passes knowledge. You know, how are you going to get it? You're going to get that by revelation. You're not going to get it up here. You're going to get it in here. That's how you know the love that passes knowledge. And it has a rooting and a grounding effect. I mean, you can know the word in a way that can root you and ground you in terms of knowing the enemy is saying this, but without the love of God and beholding the manner of the love of God, man, you can get into a religious effort-filled trap. It starts with the love of God. You're rooted. I fight the good fight of faith because God loves me and he's for me and he's with me. The center is the love of God. I'm rooted and I'm grounded in the fact that he loves me and that he is for me. I'm letting myself go there. I'm beholding the manner of that love, that God's love is now. There's nothing I need to mature into for this. I was born into this love, and I'm called to not drift away. I'm called to maintain that assurance of that amazing unconditional love that I had as a new believer, that joy unspeakable and full of glory, Peter describes it. Wow, unspeakable and full of glory. What is that based on? Not a theology, it's based on the revelation of a love that God has for you. God so loved the world. God so loves you. God is so for you right now. And that's what I'm believing this morning right now. Father, we just come boldly before your precious throne of grace. We thank you that it is a safe place, that your love is right now in this moment, that you are love, and you love us. Lord, we purpose in our heart to behold the manner of that love. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith. Say, "Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love, that you are for me, that you love me. I behold the manner of that love. I consider it, and I let that love in my heart right now. I let your love love the chip off my shoulder. The only politics that matter is the fact that you love me, that you're for me, that I'm lovable to you. You care about me affectionately. Lord Jesus, open my eyes. Help me to see and to know your love. In this very moment, I open my heart. Strengthen me with might by your Spirit in my inner man. Make that love real to me. Thank you for your grace. Lord Jesus, today is my day. You said today is the day of salvation. So today I call on your name. I believe in my heart you died on the cross for my sins, that God raised you from the dead. And I take you now as the Lord of my life. Come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for your amazing love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, if that's the first time you ever prayed the second part of that prayer, tell somebody. Say, hey, you know what? I believe today my sin was on that cross, and I received my forgiveness, and I received Jesus and his love today for me. That's one of the great things you can do is testify of that love, testify of that decision. Let me know. I'd love to further give you materials, things to help you on the best journey of your life, but God's love is right now, in this moment. So praise God. Receive that this morning and let his love be the starting point of whatever you're doing. Whatever you got to do next, let that be the center and then go from there. Praise God.